Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Atamare koutou tai amanuia. Welcome to the Raw Fish Show under the Quilted Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM, with Stay at Kuta, aka Sabo, and Panda, me, 10 o'clock. And hey, the sun was out earlier today, this morning, and now it's gone all shizzles.
Shizzle medizzles.
Yeah. It's like, but it's 13 degrees apparently outside. It doesn't feel like it. We'd like to welcome back. We've got returning guest Tu Chapman, who is freezing outside. She's only wearing a t-shirt. But what happened to the sun this morning, Tu Chapman? And how are you? How are you both? It's been a while since I've seen you last.
I have no idea what happened to the sun.
We're
hating on the sun at the moment.
Yeah, when I saw you just went outside the cafe, outside the studio, I was like, what the hell? Why is she only wearing a t-shirt? She was like, oh, it was hot when I got out of the house. Yeah, but I have to say, when I got up this morning, my alarm was set for 7 o'clock, 7:30. The sun was out up in Korori. And then when I was ready to catch my Uber, it gone zhiz. How are you, Stay at Kuta? I haven't seen you for a while.
I'm very good. I'm more layered. Got the 3 or 4 layers on.
Yeah, so yeah,
keeping warm.
Obviously, too, we've been updating for the last couple of months. To stop the New Zealand First gender petition bill, which we'll talk about later. All the updates, contacts for those of you known, and it's going to be closing in a couple of days, so we'll be telling you how to get on there if you haven't signed it already. And a couple of months ago, I was talking about Wellington, our annual Wellington on the Plate festival here during winter, and the theme was Food is Love. Now, I've got the program dropped a couple of weeks ago on their website, and I've got my burger recommendations for the festival, because now it's split into two. They have, in the first week, the festival events, and then in the second week, they had the burgers. So just to give you an idea, there's 209 entries this year for Wellington on the Plate, the burger part of it anyway. Also got some fresh new music from Sam Smith. And we've got Men I Trust Come With Mud, but one of my favourite Samoan artists, Tree, Do To Me. You're listening to The Raw Fish Show under the Quilted Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Took me by surprise, cause I've never met somebody like you. It's like a flame, a spark, you captivated my heart. It took me higher to know how to do. Never in my life could I imagine a love affair so natural like ours. Even amidst the love, the chaos of the world, you make me feel so calm.
Boy, you blow my mind. A simple kiss from you is like magic. Without it, I cannot sleep at night. Many people say that you're no good for me, but they don't know the chemistry we share. And with everything I face, you are my remedy. So leaving you, baby, there's no way. Boy, you blow my mind.
Boy, you blow my mind. What you do?
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Ikumata Show under the Quilted Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. You're listening to The Raw Fish Show under the Quarter Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And that was a beautiful song by Men I Trust with I Come With Mud. And we opened the show up with one of my favourite Samoan singers in Aotearoa, Tree with Do To Me. And I didn't know this. Two said that her husband is Swiss.
Yes.
And we prefer her music, don't we? It's way better.
Oh, we can't say that.
Yes, we can.
My goodness.
Anyway, welcome back to the show to thank you for coming in. So we're going to... There's four more days till, and then the petition is finished. Do you want to give everyone some context if they don't already know about your Stop the New Zealand First Gender Petition Bill?
Yeah, cool. Hey, morena tātou. It's great to be back. Thank you to you both for opening the door to me this morning again. I'm sorry I haven't been here for the last couple of months.
But no worries.
Life is kind of busy and it keeps us going and ticking along. But anyway, the gender bill.
Yes.
The bill defining a man and a woman by New Zealand First. Yes, my cute little petition got just over 10,500 signatures, and I think in the last couple of days we've seen a spike in those numbers that are wanting to sign that petition. It closes on the 31st of July at midnight, which is this Thursday.
What
coming?
Is that number good? Are you happy with that number?
Oh, look, I didn't expect it to get so many signatures, but 10,500 people agree with me that this bill shouldn't actually... It's still in the biscuit tin, eh? So it
what does
actually,
that mean? You've been giving me updates because you haven't been able to come into the studio the last 2 months. And I think the first month that after you appeared, I said to Kota, I don't even know what out of the biscuit tin means. And was like, and two's not here to explain it to us. Can you please explain to me what that's saying?
So it's a member's bill. So a member's bill is something that a member has like a member of parliament has decided needs legislative change. So that means a law needs to be made or a law needs to be changed in order for something to, you know, come into society, and that it's something we have to legally abide by. So a member's bill goes into the biscuit tin, which is that ugly biscuit tin that they have in Parliament where it's like a lottery. So it's like you draw.
Isn't an actual physical biscuit tin?
Isn't an actual physical biscuit tin. It's like Nanny's tin that had her biscuits in it.
Oh, yeah, with the cats outside.
It's like, honestly, it's probably
the old Griffin samplers, which I'm sad. They just do it in cheap cardboard now, you know. But I wish they'd go back to putting them in the tins, because every Christmas, even though I hate Christmas, I'm not a capitalist, but because my one good memory about Christmas growing up is Mum bringing out the Griffin samplers box. Mm. So I always, it's my way of going, I remember... Thank you. But my two younger brothers, I don't think they get it. Why I do that every year. But anyway, keep going.
So the biscuit tin is, they draw a number out, you know, like those little housey numbers. Goes to housey, draw it out of the tin. And if your number is the number of, if your bill is the number that's drawn out, then that's the bill that goes into the House to get debated, goes out for consultation.
It's that random. Why do they do it like that?
Oh, apparently it's fairness and transparency, but in all honesty, who knows? It's government.
I'm confounded. It's such an idiotic way to do things.
So anyway, the members' bill, it's still not out of the biscuit tin, but my petition specifically says that if it is drawn out, that it's stopped in its tracks right
straight
then
away.
And there. Right, straight away.
Kill it dead.
And any other bill in similar nature. So they can't change the words around it, because the purpose of the bill will fundamentally remain the same.
So I had two friends ask me yesterday. Mm. So for those not in the know, because not all of us are in the know, and that's okay. What is the purpose of this bill that Winston Peters devised?
Yeah, it's a discriminatory bill. So it basically goes against the fundamental inherent human rights of the individual to choose for bodily autonomy. So this is I'm taking it from an intersex perspective here, because I am an intersex person. That's not to say that the rest of the communities, particularly our transgender community, that are heavily impacted by this and are often showcased and spotlighted as the reason why this bill exists. But actually, that's because they're, you know, a sensational dynamic of the community. They're easy to target. But underlying all of that, what that actually means is it inadvertently affects the rest of us who are impacted by such legislative change. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing. It absolutely is a bad thing. But I'm also not saying as well that or diminishing the mana of our transgender, of our whakawahine community in any way. Basically what it says is that they shouldn't have to share this load on their own, and any such discriminatory legislative approaches by the government has not had proper thought, has not had consultation, has not had analysis behind it, has not given human or legal rights perspectives attached to it. And so basically it's just a minister who went to sleep overnight, woke up the next morning and says, oh, look, I don't want them to go and use those toilets. Let's make a bill and discriminate against them.
I'll just copy what is happening over in with Trumpty, Numpty Trumpty.
So Numpty Trumpty. So we're definitely taking an American, European approach, UK approach to human rights here. And I think that this is something that we often forget about, is that this government is heavily Trump associated.
Yeah.
They love the Trump way. It's Trump way or the highway.
Yeah, and this is the Pacific. Get it right.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So, yeah, that's what the members' bill is. And, yeah, 10,500 people agree with me and agree with the approach and agree that, you know, this shouldn't actually be coming into play, because if it does come in, then absolutely there's going to be violence. There's going to be hate-filled narratives that are just going to increase even more.
Yeah, and I don't want to go backwards.
We've come too far to go backwards.
No, I'm reading Carmen's autobiography at the moment. And, you know, again, different generation from me. But just to hear the stuff that they had to go with people who are supposed to be upholding the law, not breaking it.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's, you know, it's what powers or what superpowers do we have at our disposal as a community? We have our voices, we have our collectiveness, and that, you know, we may not all fundamentally agree with each other every now and again.
Yeah.
But at the end of the
day,
which is normal.
Dysfunction is can be okay.
Like to think that I'm quite functioning.
I think you're highly functioning.
You know, but there's nothing wrong with being dysfunctional in disagreements. But at the end of the day, we do come together collectively on the front line when it comes to things like this, because it doesn't just affect one particular part of our community. It affects us all.
Yeah.
And if we were to approach it from a te ao Māori, indigenous perspective, that makes it even worse.
Yeah, whakawhanaungatanga.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really, really happy that the bill, the petition has gained so much traction there. And, you know, I have to take my hat off to all of those people that have got involved in sharing it and wanting to know a little bit more about the detail. And, you know, hopefully we won't need to go there and have to traumatise people into validating their identity if it gets drawn out of the biscuit tin, because this is ultimately what the end result will be if it is drawn out of the biscuit tin. People are going to have to put their mātauranga, their experiences on the line for someone else to take away and say, and validate. You know, we're sick of having to validate ourselves to people that don't want to understand or don't have manaaki in their hearts, you know, to want to understand. It's a horrible process that a government is putting us through, and this is only a smidgen of what's happening in the gender identity and sexuality space.
Yeah, just a smidge, unfortunately. But, like Tu said, I want to high-five everyone who's made, you know, the effort, because it is an effort to get there and have your voice heard through this signing the petition. So for those who are still not yet sign the petition and want to, where do they go to?
Yeah, if you go to my page on Instagram and Facebook, you'll find it. But if you also go to the Te Pāti Māori page, you'll also find it there. It's shared far and wide. Unfortunately,
is your page public?
As a safety precaution, I've had to lock my pages down, just particularly for this issue. And this is where we talk about, you know, women in politics or identity in politics and what, you know, general society, they're probably blimmin' racists anyway. It's generally what's happened is I've had to actually just go into protection mode to protect my sanity, to protect my safety, because of some of the digital harm that is happening out there.
And it's only just highlighted. I've seen some of the screenshots that you posted, and I'm sure that's not even the tip of the iceberg.
No, so I've locked my page down, but it is on the petitions page on Parliament's website, and it does close at midnight on the 31st of July.
And yeah, that's why it's so important, even like having this platform, the Quilter Bananas program, with all the wonderful hosts and texts that we have. I think now more than ever, it really highlights the importance of having this platform for our community and the different communities with under that rainbow umbrella. Talking about being such a warrior, I'm glad that we were talking about it earlier on, that you're okay and that you make sure that, you know, you're grounded, your toe, whenever you're battling some of these monsters. The hui, let's segue into that. Your latest battle.
Honestly.
That bloody interview and context for people.
Yeah, I mean, your safety is a big thing. And they say there's safety in numbers, but actually safety in numbers doesn't apply if you don't understand what that means for yourself individually.
Yep.
So there's a process one has to go through in order to be safe, and then to receive safety as well from your community, from your people. You know, tō rahi e haere ake nei, as we say in Te Ao Māori, the people that are behind you, backing you 100%. And, you know, for those particular reasons, these are the reasons why we go into safety issues. Anyway, yes, the Hui NZ.
The Hui NZ?
So the Hui NZ is a mainstream Māori media program that showcases Māori stories and things that are affecting us in Te Ao Māori. It's political, it's community, it's iwi based, it's everything Te Ao Māori based. But recently, and just recently as of last week, they aired an episode particularly on the gender bill by New Zealand First, and they platformed a TERF group to get in the likes, to get people to come in and watch the show. And this TERF group, Speaking Up for Women New Zealand, is led by one of the probably worst, and I'm going to say this, and, you know, hopefully, you know, this doesn't come back on me. Actually, I don't really care. One of the worst, in my view, TERF Māori women that I know.
There was one thing, because I watched some of that, and I refuse to watch the rest of it because I don't have to. Do you think that the kid interviewing her, because he was quite young, and I'm wondering if that was one part of the problem. I'm not an ageist, but he didn't have the experience. I feel like, do you think it backfired on them? Because I feel like that they perhaps were wanting to put them on the spot.
Yeah, look, I sent a letter of complaint in based on that particular episode of The Hui. I've never criticised them at all publicly before in any way. Actually, I've never criticised them behind closed doors either, because I do believe that, you know, fair and transparent reporting, responsible reporting,
responsible is
actually really key for us. But when they get it wrong, they do it in a spectacular fashion, you know, but they dig their heels in. Anyway, I sent a letter of complaint in to Whakaata Māori, who initially showcased the reels and the promo for it, and they immediately removed it from their platforms.
Good on
Big
them.
Big tick to Whakaata Māori.
Yeah.
And then what then came back was that I needed to send any further communications to the production company, which is the Great Southern Television Network. Now, they're well known. They're an established production company who produce some really great content over the years, but they're also the senior executive producers for The Hui. Okay. I sent a letter of complaint into them, which is, you know, all over my social media, and so if you're not friends with me, then you're not going to be able to see that. Ka roha hoki. And I basically stepped out my reasonings for that, and I said to them that, you know, it's they breached, in my view, broadcasting standards, basically offensive and disturbing content, discrimination, the accuracy of the program in terms of sufficient legal intent or implications of the gender bill that was not highlighted. It actually amplified, this is in terms of accuracy, it amplified misleading narratives by a single viewpoint, meaning that that turf group balance. And whilst they, you know, I acknowledge them for including a young transgender from the Waikato shaman, it actually placed them in an unsafe position.
No, she had no backup.
She had no backup, nothing at all.
It just showed their inexperience of the interviewer and the lack of research and probably staff on there who knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
and when they decided to do that.
And then they tried to justify that the interviewer, him, John or whatever his name was the questioning of the turf lady. I'm not going to say her name because it's not worthy of a mention in my scheme of things.
Voldemort.
That the structure of the episode gave disproportionate airtime and legitimacy to the exclusionary perspective. So they basically highlighted the turf group perspective because they support the gender bill by New Zealand First. And then they showcased the transgender perspective, which left nothing behind them to support their legal human rights argument. It just gave the lived experience perspective, but yet the turf group had a technical legislative backup process.
Yeah, and where was the manaakitanga for that?
Where was the manaakitanga? Anyway,
I was shocked.
In my letter of complaint, I said that their response implied that bringing these sorts of things into the public arena allows for scrutiny. Scrutiny being a very big buzzword at the moment. Around anything that's, you know, anything at all, really.
Yeah.
And I countered that argument by saying that platforming hate without sufficient framing context or community protection does not constitute scrutiny. It constitutes harm.
Hard. There's a difference. I can't believe, or they don't simply don't care.
Yeah.
So irresponsible. There's a huge difference between hate speech and then free speech.
Mm-hmm. A total difference. Hate speech, opinion speech, free speech, they're all different and controversial in their own right. And then I finally went on to say that, you know, controversial subjects, and I agree with journalism that's responsibly reported, controversial subjects must be reported, but they must be reported responsibly. And with an understanding that the power imbalance of such articles or such interviews like this between marginalised communities and those seeking to undermine the rights of individually marginalised communities is not journalism in its neutral context, its oppressive viewpoints, its harmful narratives, and its sidelines those most affected and ultimately
extremely dangerous.
And then I just went on to say, you know, because in my initial one, I asked for an apology, I asked for a retraction, I asked for, you know, the process that you should undertake if you want to have constructive discussions or engagements. I've now asked them to remove the episode entirely from any and all social and digital platforms, and then I'll be sending a letter to the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
So that's where that issue is at now?
Yep, so the Great Southern have dug their heels in, but guess what? Two Chapman's going to dig her heels in too.
I love it. Are you okay too? And thank you so much for, you know, just, I don't have the energy. That's just amazing.
Lani's sitting over here going, oh,
I'm really okay.
You asked the question, so you know, you want a social justice activist? Here you go,
We're going to have a break, just get things toe again, but that's so super awesome. Yeah, the hui, you know, it's okay to get things wrong and admit to it. I just get really shocked at how many people will dig their heels in when they've effed up. It's okay to eff up.
Say you're wrong.
Say sorry and get on with it. Let us get on with it. Yeah. But got this new track here by Miss Thandi and Gold Thang called Never In Love. You're listening to The Raw Fish Show under the Cords of Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM.
Eternity, and even stay. more to say.
You're listening to The Royal Fish Show on the Quilted Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And that was a new track by Miss Dandy and Goldthing. Dang, Never Unloved. That was awesome, eh? Especially that bit towards the end. So, we've got two here, two Chapman guests in studio. Just finished talking about her mahi with the Stop the New Zealand First Gender Bill before it comes out of the biscuit tin. But now we're going to talk about one of my favourite subjects, Kai. a couple of months ago, I was getting excited about Wellington on a Plate program, which is the annual food festival that is held in winter. It was especially held in winter. The brainchild of, I forgot the woman's name, she started years ago as a way to create revenue for businesses during the colder months of the year. But a buzz and excitement about food. And so the program went live a couple of weeks ago. You just lowercase Visa WOP, that's VISAWOAP.com. Go straight to the website if you want to have a look at the program. And the theme this year, because there's a theme every year, is Food is Love, which I think is kind of cheesy, but I get it. It starts Friday, this coming Friday, August the 1st, ends on Thursday, August the 31st. So the first week is the Wellington on a Plate events, and then the second week is the Wellington on a Burger event. And I was telling these guys in the break, well, earlier this morning, there are 209 burger entries this year. And that's from restaurants, not just in Wellington, in the Hutt area, Kapiti Coast, Porirua. So I've had a really good deep dive, and which I do every year. Coulda knows this, and I always talk about which ones. And they usually have a competition where you can rate them. And then they get the award acknowledgement for the restaurant who get in the top three. I think Apache's won it the last couple of times. I can't remember who won last year. But so I had a good look. So 209 burgers on offers. And I was quite sad because this year there's only like 5 seafood / fish offerings. And one of them is from Cobb & Co. in Porirua. Which I haven't been there yet. And it comes with, do you remember those Cobb special crunchies? They're like the teddies.
I'm not that old.
Crispy deep fried. Do you remember those?
No, I don't.
That you get from,
I probably wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, whatever. But they come with a side of teddies. I just want to go and try that burger. Not just because it's fish and I don't think it'll be that great, but just for the novelty aspect. And to also support the hospitality scene in Porirua. My other recommendation, and this is another fish burger offering, is Floridita's.
Yeah,
they're solid. I had a mussel burger there a couple of years ago. It was amazing. And the service is excellent. They've got a hash panache burger. And listen to this. Fish hash patty with potato, smoked mackerel and herbs, iceberg lettuce, crispy onions, tartare and tomato relish, and a soft Brezelmania potato bun with shoestring fries. The hash panache transforms Floridita's most loved dish of the best past 20 years. So this is an item that they have had on their menu for the last 20 years, and they've turned it into a burger form. And it's a tribute to that iconic fish hash. So I'm definitely going to try that. Now, I had the price on there. I can't remember. It's disappeared. I must have deleted it by accident. And so, as I said, 209 burgers on offer, only 5 seafood fish offerings. So my recommendations, Cobb & Co. and Porirua and the hash panache Floriditas. The other, because I like to try unusual proteins, I don't. There's only 2 duck burgers this year. And there's this place, Sage and Salt, 169 Willis Street. It's on the corner of Willis and Dixon Street. It used to be a hotel. It might still be a hotel. And they've got, it's like a pulled, it's duck a l'orange with char-grilled radicchio, caramelized onion and thyme-infused aioli in a toasted little bread loaf, rewana bun, with sage and salt potato croquettes. Oh, that sounds delicious. Do you like duck?
I'm sorry. I just have to be brutally honest here. If it's not chicken, beef, or fish, I don't want it.
Oh, okay. Well, beef obviously is the highest offering. There's about 95 beef burgers. I found them all quite boring. I love a cheeseburger, but a lot of it's Wagyu, brisket. I saw an interesting one where it was like a rib, a whole rib in a...
I can't,
short rib.
I can't do gourmet burgers for some reason.
And a bun. Not your thing? What about you?
Did you see any vegetarian burgers?
Oh, I'll come to that soon. I'll come to that soon. Yeah, because you're not really eating that much meat now, are you? And the only other duck burger available, called No Longer Flying Duck, looked real looked real good. It was, but you know what? I'm too scared to eat at ABV Rooftop Bar. You know that?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I wouldn't even have a drink in there if I drank. Why would I go there and have something to eat, which is a real shame because, nah, I'm too scared.
I'm still laughing at the longer flying duck.
It's much better than dead duck burger.
another thing, I always like the kind of like a Aotearoa Kiwiana themed burgers. And also this one is out, this place Sandbar is out in Mana, which is out my area. And their burger is called Hi Hungy, I'm Home. $28. Chicken and pork with stuffing, pickle and pie pickles, and house-made barbecue sauce, and a house-made fry bread bun. And instead of chips or fries, you get carrots, kumara, and pumpkin.
That's epic.
Can they not, like, mix all of that up into one and make it a patty? Can they just, layer it?
This is their take. So I'm going to go. Yeah.
Don't you moan at us when you get there and you go, it's not what I thought it was.
Oh, look, sometimes you get disappointed, but that's all it's the fun of it for me. I like it. The next one, it's a place, 545 High Street. This is Lower Hutt, Coco Kai Cafe. And their burger is called Lick the Pig. $23. So it's not just pulled pork, but it's also slow-cooked pork belly with tomato relish, onion, chopped pickles, mayo, homemade barbecue sauce, tomato sauce, American cheese, cheddar, lettuce, mandarin mango sauce, and mustard sauce in a Brezelmania milk bun with potato fries and house-made seasoning. The other thing, like, that sounds like a lot. But it's kind of sounds yummy.
They should get an award for the, description.
For the lick the pig.
Lick the pig.
No longer flying duck. Yeah, my thing with burgers, if it's got too many ingredients, I'm just like, nah. Because it's essentially a sandwich, right? Another thing I noticed, there are about 13 lamb burgers in the 209 offering. And they range from like $36 actually. I was glad to see lamb on the menu because we've got so many in this country. But I mean, it's cheaper for us to get it across in Australia. So $23 to $36, that's some high end stuff. And but here's some special mentions. I'm going to talk about the Kiwiana kind of flavour of things. Neo Cafe Eatery on Willis Street. They've got Aroha Aotearoa, but I saw it's got way too many ingredients, but it looks interesting. It's and then the other one at Te Papa, they have a cafe, Boil Up Inspired Pork Burger.
Yeah.
But again, too many. There's like 50 ingredients in it.
How many hangi boil up burgers did you count? Did you do the analysis?
No, just one.
Just one?
Yeah.
What about that one out at Mana?
Nah, that's a hangi. But this one's
home.
A boil up inspired burger.
Oh.
So now we're going to go to the event side of it, which is the first week.
Where's the vegetarian burger?
I'm coming to it. Most of the burgers come with vegetarian options.
Oh, okay then.
But with you, because you live in Long Bay, I recommend you go to the Botanist. What I saw was pretty cool. But
they're expensive at the Botanist, eh?
Yeah.
Their fish burgers really do taste like fish. I didn't realise it's fish.
Yeah, burger. And it's all plant-based.
It's all plant-based.
The events part of it, 106 events in 1 week. My recommendation is an event called Dragons is My Uso. And for those of you who don't speak Samoan, Uso is a term for sister or brother. Kind of like, oh, hey bro. But the thing in Samoan is that you can only do it male to male or female to female. Mm. It can't be cross. But, I mean, if you're whatever, it doesn't matter. You have a bro or sister, it depends on. Like, hi, Uso. Like, it's all good. This is one event. So Dragons and Laiuso is something that was created by Sean Mellon. He's the senior dude at Pacific guy up at Te Papa. But him and I think the family that runs Dragons created this event. It's a fusion of Samoan and Chinese cuisine because, as you know, in the 1800s, he had to put it in a nice way in his thing on the marketing, but it's like, hello, we put them over for indentured labour to Samoa. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But they've got two seatings available. The food looks amazing, by the way. If you like super soy and that kind of stuff, this is the next level take on it. At Dragons on Torres Street, there's two seatings, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. or 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And this is sort of on the middle to high end of the cost of tickets. It's $108. There are tickets still available, but I saw that quite a few of the events have already sold out. Some of them have waiting lists and some don't. So get in there quick if you can afford it. The other special mention, KC Cafe. Who loves KC Cafe?
I love KC.
Well, I haven't had a chance to see the owner, Michael Chan. He's opened a new restaurant not so long ago called Hay Restaurant in Cuba Mall.
Really?
Yeah. And it's showcasing like his background because he's from Guangzhou and his wife's Hakka heritage. So they've got an event. It's kind of Southwest. And it's like a four-course meal. I think it's paired with drinks. That's $120. That's probably one of the cheaper events. Mm. Some of them went up to like close to $400, which I find interesting. We're living in a cost of living crisis. And who knows if we're ever going to get out of it. Hopefully we do. But that some of these events are already sold out. Like Logan Brown's got a special event.
Who even goes to Logan Brown anymore?
I don't know anyone that still goes there. I'm surprised they're still open. Well, that's just me personally.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I used to go. My old flatmate used to be a waiter there.
Oh.
So we get kind of like semi-discounts and that.
Right. I've never been.
I've never tried their signature dish, which is the power ravioli. But and the one openly queer event that I saw in the events part is Flora Divas, which is $185.
What?
Led by Hugo Gill.
Oh, right.
Two nights, yeah. But I had to mention it because it is the only queer event that I saw. Thursday, 14th of August, Friday, 15th of August, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And that's $185. So,
wow.
Gonna have a short break here. Have a break from talking about all that food. I'm getting hungry. We've got Lady Ray. It's a new this new song. I love Lady Ray, called My Best Step. You're listening to the Raw Fish Show under the Quarter Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Whakarongo koe ki te Ikamata Show under the Quota Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. I just wanna go all night, I just wanna go insane, touching the summer rain, harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. Never get you out my mind, never get you out my brain, wanna do it all again, harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. I just wanna go all night, I just wanna go insane, touching the summer rain, harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. Never get you out my mind, never get you out my brain, wanna do it all again, harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. I just wanna go all night, I just wanna go insane, touching the summer rain, harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. Harder than the bluest flame, harder than the bluest flame. Never give you up on mine. You're listening to Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco with the Bluest Flame on the Raw Fish Show under the Quarter Bananas program. Cutter and Panda. And I just need to do some pānui because, you know, July has been Pūmahara I te wā Queer History Month. And there's a queer history talk diving into the rich histories of Wellington's rainbow communities. We'll be walking through the decades and exploring the pivotal moments, people and movements from the 1890s through to today. Guest speakers include queer historian, trans historian Will Hanson, Gareth Watkins, who's in charge of the Pride GayNewZealand.com, actually, GayNewZealand.com website, where he archives as many rainbow events as he can through audio. And Kieran Pollock from New Zealand Heritage Organisation, and me facilitating for some reason and being part of that kōrero. So that's at Newtown Library. It's on Thursday, 31st of July. Oh, that's this week, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only for an hour from 6 o'clock to 7, so we're not going to bore the pants off you. But I recommend you come if you're interested in history, especially queer history. Such a great group of people. I'm quite privileged and honoured to be a part of that and to have been asked to be part of that. So thanks to Tess and that from Ngāpuna Wairua, Newtown Library. Looking forward to it. And two, just a reminder for those who still want to sign the petition and the closing date, time, where to go.
Yeah, so the petition closes again 31st of July at midnight. It's available on the petition's website on Parliament. If you're on my social media, then it's sitting in the top of my bios on social media. Just over 10,500 signatures.
Woohoo!
Very happy with that, but if we can get it even more in the last couple of days, then hey, let's do that.
Yeah, let's aim for 15,000. Okay, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. Very honoured. Thank you, Stay at Kura, for not sabiwaying this episode. I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life.
There's still time.
And we're going to be playing a new song by Sam Smith called To Be Free. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, or to all our Seven fans, thank you so much. You're listening to The Raw Fish Show under the Quarter Bananas program on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Thank you.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.